I don't apologize for that. A long time ago, well, not a long time, but long enough. Amen. And I think it'll be a blessing to you and help you, though. I know there's some folks that struggle with this and in different areas like this of peace and having a calm in their heart, and there's troubled times that come in our lives and things that we face, and we need to have that peace, and we have been given the peace of God. If you've been born again, and I'll talk about that a little bit, but you've been given the peace of God. And I think so many times you live beneath your privilege and don't realize that you've been given that peace. And you live beneath that, and then you struggle with things. And you get your eyes off of Jesus Christ, which will always get you in trouble. And it seems to me that's the major problem with God's people as well, is they take their eyes off of Jesus Christ. But very simple verse here tonight. I'm not sure how long this sermon's going to be. I guess it's been 53 to 54 to 56 minutes for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I've not gotten to the hour long. Not that I'm going for that, but it just amazes me that I've not gotten there yet. But anyway, I'm not trying to, or it's just whatever the Lord has me done, I'm done. But it's interesting how it kind of floats around that time, and you poor people have to put up with all that. And let me tell you, I feel bad for you. Not really, but anyway, this verse here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I like the next verse. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust." Isn't that amazing here? Well, what a truth that's right here in this verse, in Isaiah chapter 26, in verse number 3. What a marvelous truth is there. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." God's people, sometimes even when you're young in the faith, you have trouble. And troubles can come to you, and they shake the very foundations of your spirituality. They shake your foundations. They make you question some things. But God tells us very directly in His Word how though the storms of life rage, we can't have a peace that passeth all understanding. We should have that peace inside of us. You need that this evening more than you know, and I would love for you to have it and understand it more than you know, the peace that God wants you to have. Changes will always come in your life. There will always be circumstances, and there will always be situations that come in your life. For someone to say, well, life is normal, life is never normal, I don't know what normal is, amen. That's not how life is. Life always throws you challenges, and you have to be able to receive those challenges under the guise that the Lord has sent them your way, and that He understands, He knows what's coming your way, and He'll take care of you. As I know that changes always will come, like right now, there's some of you are going through some changes that have affected your life, and it makes things difficult for you. Those circumstances change. Remember this, the Ancient of Days, He doesn't change. He's the same. He doesn't move from His throne. The high and lofty one that is up in the sky, the high and lofty one, the one that never changes, the one that never has a problem, is still on the throne. And He will be, no matter what happens to you. Whether it's a loved one that dies, whether it's somebody that had some tragic death or some tragic accident or cancer or anything else, God forbid, that should happen to us, God is still on the throne. God will still take care of you. God will still meet your every need. In the midst of turmoil and tribulation, there is a formula that God Almighty has for that perfect peace for His children. It is attainable in this life. Or God would not even have said that it was. But He makes a command here, He makes a statement here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee." Let's pray. Father, help us. We need you, Holy Ghost of God. Speak to your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, number one, the first thing you must understand is God is the keeper of those who would have perfect peace. God is their keeper. The text uses the words, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." That word "keep" means to preserve something. Much like your Bible is preserved. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." You have a preserved Word of God, an inspired, preserved Word of the living God. Amen? Doesn't change. God will keep you the same way He kept His Word. Do a word comparison. Do a study. Know your Bible. Understand what that means when He says, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then when He tells you, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. He is telling you that He will keep you just like He keeps His Word. That makes sense? Bet you never thought of it like that, have you? Well, if God's Word fails, then so will His promises to you. Amen? There ought to be a peace that you have there. God will preserve us in perfect peace. There is no peace outside of the peace that is granted by God the Father. It is granted by God the Father, given through the sacrificial offer of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible calls Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace. We hear people talk about He is the chief giver of peace, Jesus Christ is. We hear people talk about, well, there needs to be peace in the world and peace in the Middle East. Well, look at all the peace they're trying to get. And it's only coming up to a piece of garbage. There's no peace. Amen? Why? Because the Prince of Peace is not here. When He comes, there will be peace after He destroys. But there will be peace. Man touts around that word peace. We need peace, not war, or peace in the Middle East. But no true peace will be there until He comes. Man decided, understand this though, why we have such turmoil in our lives. Understand this one thing. That man decided that peace and tranquility of the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God, was not what he wanted. Do you understand that? The reason why you and I have turmoils today is because our forefathers and us as well, your great-great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandmother, many times removed back, they decided that they didn't want the peace of the garden. They didn't like the peace of God. You know what? Sometimes you decide that too. You're too bored with the Christian life. You're too bored with doing the things, and you leave the plain path of duty because you're too bored to follow God. You're too bored. I want something exciting. No, what you're saying is God, your peace is not good enough. I want the tranquility. I want the problems in life. I want the turmoil of life. And God said, I had a garden once. It was the Garden of God, and there was peace in the Garden of God. And man decided that peace was not good enough, and that he would have something else. Man, by his fallen nature, has become chaotic. We expect peace, but we live our lives in a chaotic fashion. The sin nature moved in, and we are chaotic people. This world started out peaceful, but has become violent. Man didn't want God's peace. He wanted exaltation and equality with God. Do you understand the difference there? He wanted to be equal with God. He didn't want the peace of God. He wanted equality with God. So did his wife. She wanted it first. It's her fault. she wanted it first. She wanted that equality. You notice, boy, that women's lib movement doesn't do very good. It started in the garden and it's still going and it's still not doing a very good job, is it? Amen? Come on now. Am I wrong with you? Listen. What does the Scripture say? Look at the Scripture. What does the Scripture say about it? Amen? Scripture says that Eve, she wanted to be like God. What was that saying? Well, I want to be equal with God. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, I want that. That sounds good. I don't like this position I'm in right now. So you think the battle of feminism has taken place just recently or in the last 50 years. It's a battle that's been going on. It's man that is always, you will never have peace when man does not respect the proper order that God has laid down. If a lady does not respect the proper order that God has laid down as a wife, it'll never work. As a daughter, if she does not respect the proper role, if parents don't teach the proper role, then guess what happens? Chaos. No peace. God is the keeper of peace. God is the one that keeps us in peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Make no mistake about it, in the quest for equality, our society has become among the sexes. It produces no peace. Peace comes from obedience to God's order. They've rejected the Prince of Peace, the one who is the keeper of all peace in every relationship in this world that you see. It's a rejection of God, and that's why the problems are there. But those who have entered into a covenant of salvation by Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ have the privilege to be at a preserved and perfect peace with God, to be kept in perfect peace. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, Colossians 1:20. having made peace through the blood of His cross. You and I are at peace with God tonight. God no longer sees you as enemy. If you're a saved, born-again believer in Christ Jesus, you are no longer the enemy of God. But make no mistake about it. Don't fool your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Don't make them believe a lie. If they're not born again, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't even realize it. They'll tell you they're religious. They'll tell you they love God, but if they are lost and dying in their sins and on their way to hell, and they are the enemies of the cross. And weeping. In a weeping fashion, Paul said the same thing. And weeping, I tell you, they are the enemies of Christ. Amen? They don't realize that. That's why you have to show them the truth. That don't mean you walk up and say, hey, you enemy of God. You don't do that, but what you do is you try to win them to Christ, and you show them their lost condition, and pray the Holy Ghost of God reveals it unto them, and they believe it, and they agree, and they're born again. Many of God's people, though, live beneath their privilege in this thing of peace. They don't allow themselves to be preserved by the keeper of all peace. So today the Christian is much like the grandfather Adam, that he would not allow this man to rule over him. He would not allow God to rule over him. He would not allow that, and he had no peace. Christian, you will have no lasting peace, though you've been born again by the Spirit of God. You will have no peace living beneath your privilege as the son of a sovereign Father who holds the whole world in His hand, if you don't recognize that He is the true keeper of all peace. If you're here today and never been born again, you'll never have the peace of God until you are. But peace of God, all right, is different than peace with God. Peace with God is made by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But peace of God is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong thing. If you would have that peace, you have no right to complain or to question when you've turned your back on God Almighty and not allowed the Prince of Peace to do any work in your life. If you're not saved, you must enter into that covenant and have the peace of God. Peace with God. And have access to the peace of God. But what then is this perfect peace that Isaiah is speaking of? What is this? What does he mean by perfect peace? Well, perfect peace is found in Galatians, number 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go there if you would please. Galatians chapter 5. You will see that perfect peace that is there. You know, your life is so full of turmoil, but it's because you're not doing what God would have you to do. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 23 says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What is he saying there? Perfect peace is a sign. It is a proof of walking in the Spirit. When you're at peace with God, it means that you are walking in the Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You see that? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't have that peace. And then you sit around and wonder why you worry about everything, or you have all these struggles and you have all these problems, and there's that inner turmoil constantly. And the reason why is you are not walking in the Spirit. So you have the fruit of the Spirit in you when you get saved. It is one cluster, one big cluster. But the problem is that you do not have access to that when you do not walk in the Spirit. God cannot change you and work on you when you fight Him. He will not force Himself on you. Amen? He will not. You must yield to God. You must yield to God. Perfect peace comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through the fruit of the Spirit. It is a sign. It is a proof of walking in the Spirit. If you are, then you exhibit these things of a peaceful nature. I know people that are always at war with everybody they know. I mean, they're always got an enemy. Somebody, everybody they talk to is their enemy. Everybody they talk to, somebody's against them. Somebody's against them all the time. Or everybody's against them. It's like, can you get along with anybody? Is there anybody that you can get along with? If that's not the case, then here's the problem right here. If you're saved, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit. So you're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, and you're not allowing God to do the work. You are fighting God and doing the work in your life that needs to be done so you grow. So you don't have that perfect peace. And you wonder why, and that's the reason why. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Very interesting, isn't it? Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says this, therefore being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the peace with God that we have. Understand that. That's peace with God. You're no longer seen as an enemy of the cross, but this peace of God is a fruit of the Spirit. It only comes by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God, and it only is exhibited and shown and manifested by you walking in the Spirit and yielding to the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, I already know this. Yeah, but are you living it? You know, I find the easiest, most simple things are the things that we need to work on the most. How can God possibly show you something that is a deep thing of His Word when you don't even grasp the basics? Amen? This perfect peace is not only toward God, but when a man is at peace, it reflects the righteousness of that man's soul and the presence of God in his life. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Comes by faith. Comes by seeing. It's reflected in the righteousness of a man's soul. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright man, for the end of that man is peace. Psalm 37:37. Again, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. What's that perfect man mean? That complete man, that whole man of God. You know, like the Bible says, that a man, that man may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and do all good works. That's what the Word of God does for us. That perfect man is that whole man, that complete man. Let wisdom have her perfect work that you may be entire, and let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's perfect, that's whole, that's complete. Mark the perfect man. Watch him. You'll see it. It's a man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. It's not just a lack of conflict with Christ, but the positive presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. When the storms of life around you rage, this perfect peace shows you that you are not tossed to and fro. This perfect peace shows itself in our steadfastness for the Lord. Well, the economy is bad, so bless God, I'll stop tithing and giving and doing everything I'm supposed to do. And you are letting the storms of life affect you and you don't have perfect peace. You're looking at circumstances. Well, I lost my job, so the whole world is going to hell. It's over. It's done with. It's all going to fall in. We're all done. I don't know how we'll eat. That's not perfect peace, folks. Remember this, circumstances never change where God is, and circumstances never surprise God. They never surprise Him. Do you think God is surprised that you are sitting right where you're at right now? You think God didn't know that wasn't going to happen to you? Amen? You think God didn't know you were going to put up with me? He's omniscient. He's immutable. These two traits make it impossible for your Heavenly Father to ever be surprised or taken back by any circumstance you're facing. You know what one of the problems is? When you get to know God and who God really is, you'll have perfect peace. And that perfect peace won't be shaken up by Barack Obama and his socialist manifesto. Or some neocon that starts a war in every place in this world. The godly have not had many friends in high places, but only in the highest of heavens. This perfect peace stands the test of time. It stands up and takes the sting out of death. Let me ask you, will you be at peace when death calls? Will you be at perfect peace? I believe many of you will be, but let me ask you this. Why do you not have it now when the storms of life rage around you? If you're willing to die with the faith that you have right now, then why aren't you willing to live with it? Why isn't it good enough for you to trust God through anything that comes your way? You are willing to die with what you have, but you're not willing to live with what you have? How spiritual are you then? Amen? Think about it. Why do you worry when you can add nothing to it? Do you believe that your puny human reasoning and frail human existence can supply the very need that you're worried about in the first place? Oh, how am I going to pay this bill and this and that? And how am I going to do this and that and this? Why don't you ever look at them and say, God, how are you going to do all this? Amen? You ever think that God doesn't give you that peace so you'll come to the perfect, the one with perfect peace, so your mind is stayed on thee? Remember that? And I will keep him in perfect peace, and we'll get to that part of your mind being stayed on him. But I think your problem is you try to get perfect peace by your mind being stayed on you. That will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me, because I trust in me. Is that your version of the verse? I will keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on me, because I trust me. Is that the way that verse is written? You're laughing, but it's true, isn't it? Amen? I will keep me in perfect peace. Next time you start thinking and worrying about life and not thinking that God can provide for you, why don't you say that verse back to yourself? I will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on me, because I trust me. I like that. Amen? You think about that. That sounds very foolish, doesn't it? Amen. But that's what we think. That's how we are sometimes. That's the humanistic reasoning that comes in. We think, oh, well, listen, a man don't know how to grow his own hair, and how many hairs are on his head, but he actually thinks that he can do something about his problem. That he's the one that's going to fix it all. Oh, wonderful. If I had to pastor a church and be like, well, what am I going to do about this? I'd be in a lot of trouble because, friend, I don't have that many ideas. Amen? And neither do you. And even if you do, they're not very good anyway compared to God's. Your ideas get you in a lot of trouble. If you don't believe me, look back at your track record. Tell me if they didn't get you in trouble. Every boneheaded idea you had that was outside of the will of God. Amen? Oh, man, this was a bad idea. Have you ever done that? It takes a few years before you can actually laugh about it. But I've looked back and said, man, that was dumb. You know, I could put the phone up to my wife, hey, this is a good idea, honey. We're going to do this. This is going to be great. We're going to be millionaires or something. And about 3 years later, I'm like, boy, that was the dumbest thing I ever did in my life. I can't believe I did something that stupid. Right? What happened? You get out of line with God and you try to go your own way. You try to get that, I will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because I trust me. And that's exactly what you do. Amen. We're all guilty of that. In some way in our lives, we're guilty of that very thing. So you look to self on how you should feel and have not the perfect peace or the rest of soul that you need. Your feelings control your actions instead of your actions controlling your feelings. That peace is the same idea as rest. Perfect rest in Christ, our Sabbath, our rest. Christ is called our Sabbath, He's called our rest. Christ is our all in all, He's our rest. Which brings the next point up, how to get the perfect peace we desire in this tribulation, time of tribulation that comes up. We get perfect peace by our minds being stayed on our Father. And I'm going to stay on this point for a while because it's important. Amen. That word mind is the same thing as thoughts. Our thoughts in a time of crisis should be heavenward, not toward our crisis. A mind that is stayed on Him is one that gets to know Him. Do you know your God? I didn't ask you if you were saved. Did you hear me? I didn't ask you if you were born again. I said, do you know your God? Do you know Him? That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Do you know Him, though? You say, what do you mean? Well, do you know His attributes? If you will study the attributes of God, you will know Him better. You will trust Him better. It wasn't until I did a firm study of the attributes of God that I had a peace in my soul. It was very strong and lasting. And we did it in a Bible study about 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years ago now, wasn't it? And Sarah was there, and she was in the Bible study with us, Sarah. And we studied on the attributes of God. And I'll tell you, that changed me. It really did, because we started looking at each attribute of God. And it was amazing. Specifically, studying the omnipresence of God. That He's everywhere! how can you trust somebody that you don't even know? Somebody said that to me once. I asked him, do you ever cry out to God? How do you cry out to somebody you don't know? Very good point. I've never forgotten that. That little sentence taught me more than I think I've ever been taught at a single setting right there. Because I thought about that. I said, you know, that's very true. How can you? And then I threw it back at the person. How can you? Amen. How can you know someone or cry out to someone you don't even know? What the problem is that you don't know him. And that's why your mind is not stayed on him. That's why you have no peace. That's why when life storms come by, you get blown away in it and you are tossed to and fro because you don't know him. Do you understand there's something more than just Jesus Christ being your Savior? There's something more than a standard Bible message that is preached to you, and you go home and you take it in, and yes, it changes you, but not getting to know the God of heaven. Do you really want to spend the whole time you have here on this earth till God takes you home and say, you know what, I don't even know him. I don't really know who he is. I don't know that he's, I don't know what it means that he's omnipresent. I don't know what it means that he's omnipotent. What does that mean exactly? Have I ever studied that and looked at that? Well, for one, if he's omnipresent, it means he's everywhere. So you don't have to wonder if he's where you're at, because he is right there. In him we live and move and have our being. You ever thought about that verse? That means that he's all around you right now. You mean I'm in God? Yeah, I'm in God right here. Now, that doesn't mean if you're lost that God's in you. I'm just simply saying that you're in God, because in him we move and live and have our being. The Bible says that. Sometimes you're looking around for God and he's right there. You're just not looking. You're not searching for him. Because you don't know him, and you won't call on him, and you have no peace because your mind is not stayed on him. When a lady gets ready to marry a man, it's because she's gotten to know him and she can trust him. She talks to him. She learns some things about him, right? She learns some things about him, his attributes, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what might make him mad. Sometimes she makes him mad, but just to see how mad he gets, and then laughs like you're doing now. Sometimes you know as a man that when they get quiet and you're talking to them, and some women get quiet, they can be quiet for like hours. My wife can't because I make her talk, but some women I see where they just get tired and they go up in their little shell. And see, that's why God gave me a wife that is very, very patient, because I couldn't deal with that whole thing of not talking, just sitting there and just not saying anything the whole time, just sitting there. Can you talk? I got my wife out of that. When we first got married, I was like, no, you can't do that. You got to talk to me. I can't take that whole not talking thing. That really drives me nuts. You know what I mean? That whole silence thing. Silence. I've cut you off. I'll never talk to you again. And it's just like they sit there and they don't say anything. And you can say whatever you want to them. It's like you could put a hot light on them and they still won't say anything. They're like, I'm not talking to you. But I don't know. Anyway, I can't stand that. But listen, that you got to know that man, you got to know that lady, and you get to know what they like, what their attributes are. Have you ever gotten to know God? How about his omnipotence? He's all powerful, folks. There's nothing that God cannot do. Our kids even sing that song. Amen. Sure, Peter knows that song, right? My God is so big. You know that song? Yeah, he knows that song. Do you know that song? Maybe Peter should teach you that song. Amen? You know why I say that? Because we don't think our God is so big. We sing that song, my problem is so big. So strong and so mighty. Amen? Isn't that how we sing that song sometimes? But a little kid will tell you, oh no, God's bigger than anything. He's the biggest in the whole world. You ever studied the immensity of God, how he's everywhere, his immensity, everything about him? How about his immutability, that he doesn't change? God cannot change. Why? Well, because he's eternal. He's eternal and he's immutable, therefore he cannot change. One of the main traits of God, or characteristics of God and attributes of God, is that he is eternal. Therefore, something that is eternal is immutable and it cannot change. Something that is immutable has to be eternal because it never changed. Do you understand that? Not really, but I know it's kind of a circle, but it is how it works. He does not change. He was made, he created time, and here is eternity, and he created time, but he is outside of time. Time is, time will one day flow into eternity forever and be gone, but God is in eternity, so He's always been there. So He has never changed His mind. He has never been surprised. He is Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He understands that time is now because He created it. When He said, let there be light, He created it. And then one day He will end time. And He understands what's going to happen at the end. Why? Because He's in eternity. And eternity is not governed by time. So then when you cry out to God, you are from time crying out to eternity and asking God to answer something. You are speaking to the one that knows everything in eternity. Does that make sense to you? Have you even studied that or thought about that, the fact that He does not change? So He's not going to change His word. You know, that would help you from sticking your head through a wall sometimes when you're praying for all kinds of stuff that God doesn't want to give you because it's not good for you, when you think that it is, when it's against His word. But if you got to know God, you wouldn't ask Him for such stupid things. Amen? If you got to know God, you wouldn't ask Him for some of the things that you ask Him for. But you don't know who He is, so you ask Him for things that are against His will. And we'll talk about that next week, so I'm not going to get in too far into that. But understand that. You don't know who He is. You don't understand that He's immutable and that He's eternal, and His days cannot be numbered. That God is love and that God is righteousness. He is always righteous. He does not change. Therefore, every decree that has come from Him has always been righteousness, and everything that is done in God's name is always done in righteousness first. And His holiness and His righteousness must be fulfilled. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him because you trust in Him. But if your mind is not stayed on Him, how can your mind be stayed or fixed on someone and you don't know Him? You'll never do it. You ought to be looking to the one that has never had a crisis. Nothing's ever occurred to God. Oh, that's a good idea. That's never happened to God. God wasn't sitting on His throne and saying, yeah, I think I have a good idea. No, He doesn't have ideas like that. You know what I mean? It's just never like that. I got a good idea. I mean, like, it's not like one of His angels comes and say, hey, I got one for you, God. No, no, you don't. That doesn't happen. And why is that? That doesn't happen because He's God and He knows everything. He is all-knowing. Do you understand that? So you are praying to somebody. Why are you, who know nothing compared to the Ancient of Days, trying to figure out your problem when all you have to do is cry out to the one that's up there who knows everything? But see, you don't realize that because you never concentrate on the fact that He is all-knowing. So when you pray, you don't pray knowing the attributes of God and knowing who He is. I'm telling you, if you study the attributes of God, you'll be amazed. You'll be shocked. What's really sad is that there's no modern Baptists right now that are writing anything on this. For the last 100 years, nobody has written on the attributes of God. The last one was a Calvinist Baptist named A.W. Pink. But it is probably the finest thing I've ever seen written on the subject, besides the Word of God, obviously. But he's a hyper-Calvinist, so you have to be careful. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. It's sad, but nobody has. Look to the one who has never had a problem. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the originator and the perfecter of your faith. The originator of it, and the perfecter of it. That's what that means, author and finisher. When Peter took his eyes off of Christ, he started to drown in the stormy sea. But notice what the verse says, whose mind is stayed, whose mind is fixed or stuck. You fix your thoughts on God Almighty and keep them there no matter if things are great or if the whole world is crashing down on you. Our thoughts are stayed on Him by abiding in Christ through prayer. The only way you will have lasting peace is if you are praying to God daily. You don't commune with your God, but you expect to have the peace of God. Or peace, the peace of God, you expect to have that, but you're not communicating with Him daily. You're not talking with Him. Some people are not comfortable with talking to God, and you can tell that by the way they act, that they don't talk to God. You know when a man has been alone with the Lord, you can tell. Amen? If someone spends their day when they're not alone with God, there's problems. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians chapter 4, by the way, verse 6 and 7. Let me read that to you again. Put it in context. Be careful for nothing, He's saying, don't be anxious or worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Wait a minute, aren't we talking about that perfect peace? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What does he say about that? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, there's that word again, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, this seems very simple. What it's saying is that if I am not being anxious or worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What's that mean? Cry out to Him. Help me. I need You. I need this need met. I need this, God. I need You. Tell me what I need, God. Show me what I need, God. Show me what I need in my life. Amen? What does He say happens? He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall. So this will happen if you will do this. How is it? Do you have peace? Are you struggling? Is there turmoil? Well, it says here that something must be wrong then if there's all this turmoil and you have no peace. I don't mean that there's not problems in life. There'll always be problems in life. What I'm saying is that he's saying be careful in nothing, for nothing, but in everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. In every lustful thought. In every wicked action. In every bad thought. In every bad thing that you do. In every sin that you commit. In every temptation that you have. But in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise, folks. He's saying shall. That's going to happen for sure. So if it's not happening now in your life, then what's happening? You're not coming to Him. Because if you were coming to Him, then you would have peace. I didn't say your life would be free of tribulation, but you, in the world, you shall have tribulation. In me, Christ said, you'll have peace. See? Stop worrying and start praying to God. Have you asked God for that perfect peace? You have not because you ask not. Listen to me. What happens? Obedience will also produce the fruit of peace. Obedience to God. You cannot live contrary to God and His commands and expect to have peace. You cannot do that. That's, like I said this morning, that is borderline insanity, to believe that you will have peace, the peace of God, and live contrary to His rules. Live contrary to His book. You will not have that peace. You cannot have that peace. It's not possible for you to have that peace outside of obedience to God. In verse number 9, in Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Let me read that to you again here. Verse number 19, Isaiah 57, 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. Also, wisdom will produce peace. When God does send trials in your life and gives you wisdom to handle the trials, it produces a peace in your heart. That you are on familiar ground and God has gotten you through another storm. What you don't understand, folks, is that the trials, you and I are so selfish that we don't see that the trials that we're going through someday will be used for God's glory and they will be used to help others. What you have, somebody needs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Lady, the trials you've been through with your husband, somebody needs that help. Amen? Somebody needs that help. Somebody needs a blessing. Somebody needs encouragement. Somebody where you can say, listen, I'm going to put away my selfishness. I'm going to put away everything, all my thoughts of what I want, what God wants. Maybe there's somebody that needs me. Maybe there's somebody that I could be a blessing to, that I can help that's struggling. Because I have that peace. I've been through those trials. And I know that God has seen me through those. And He's worked the impurities out of me. And He's dealt with me in this way. And I've come forth as gold. And now I can be used of God to bless somebody else and to help somebody through. Do you understand that? But if you're too busy looking at yourself and trusting in yourself for the answer, you'll never get it. Because it doesn't come from self. It comes from God. Wisdom will produce that peace. It says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let wisdom have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is that? It's peace. It's at peace. Paul said that whatever state he was in there with to be content, he understood that no matter what came his way, he was content. Why? He knew that because he had been through trials. Amen? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The better you know Him, the more peace you will have. And see that He is altogether lovely and that He is able. What does it say though in the end here? I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. This is the natural progression of things. The more faith you have in God, the more peace you will have in your heart. When knowledge grows, trust grows. Get to know him and you will trust him. Do you understand that? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's learning of God, sitting at the feet of Christ, learning of the meek and lowly one, learning who he is, learning what he expects from my life, learning through trials and tribulations, learning and seeing that God will meet my every need and take care of me, and my God shall supply all your need. Living that verse out and knowing that to be true, and then what happens? Then you trust in him. Because he trusteth in thee. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. When you learn to see God and know who he is and get to know him, then you will be able to trust him. Some of you, your faith is small because you don't know your God. Your faith will grow once you know your God more. If you will learn from him, then you will grow. Stop trying to skip steps in your growth. Be humble and admit that you're not where you think you are. And grow, and allow God to grow you. Amen? It's very hard to deal with. Sometimes it's hard to admit that, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to admit that I've been saved for, some people have been saved for 20, 30 years. And they have to come to the conclusion, I'm not where I should be. Because one day the light shines and God shows you that. And then you become humble. And teachable. And God can do something with you. And then you have no idea what God has in store for you. Amen? And how great he's going to use you. Why? Because thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So God allows storms, and you will have to step out by faith and trust him and see him and look for him. Look at him, keeping your eyes fixed on him, because a bigger trial will come. Or others will have trials and you'll be able to help them through them if you've trusted your God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must believe that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Look to him, O ye heavens and the earth. Look to him. Look and live, he said. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want perfect peace? You can have it if you follow the Bible recipe, the believer's peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Stand to your feet if you would please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Have you trusted him? Are you trusting him? It amazes me that we will trust him with our never-dying souls, but not with